everybody live song, I mean that for real. Yeah.
Smoking dope out of A7 Audi. Woo. Before I came up, I would doubt it. Now my show super crowded.
The wall to wall.
Bad bitches screaming shout.
Ah.
Number gangster niggas round me.
Real.
Fresh in the game, I'm in my prime.
Right now.
I drop hits, not no dimes.
I do.
And I ain't lying in my rhymes.
No.
Call.
What's going on, family? This is Tariq Nasheed. Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I am in New York City right now, and I'm chilling, making it do what it do. Not gonna take no calls on today's show, family. I'm just gonna spit some straight-ism, and I'm gonna take a quick commercial break. And when I come back, we're going to chop it up right here on Tariq Radio. You don't move a muscle.
This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Hey, if you want to see a very interesting take on life and entertainment, check out the blogger and the aspiring filmmaker, POV Hilarious D. He has a very interesting look and outtake on life, and the guy is very funny. So go to his YouTube page, go to YouTube, search POV Hilarious D, and subscribe to his page right now on YouTube. Again, that's POV Hilarious D.
Black people are being ethnically cleansed in America, and you're next. The creator of the acclaimed documentary 7AM is back with an explosive new film, Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style. The American Holocaust won't have gas chambers and ovens. In the 21st century, making it too expensive for you to afford to live is the most humane form of genocide the world has ever witnessed. Go to our website, youwillbemoved.org. That's youwillbemoved.org.
What's up, family? Let me tell you about this year's best kept secret. That's legendarymix.com. If you're a recording artist, a music producer, and you want to bring your music to legendary status, then go to legendarymix.com. It's rated the number one online music mixing and mastering service. It's the only place you can enjoy radio quality, high quality mix downs, and professional mastering for a great price. If this message ain't for you, then tell a friend about legendarymix.com. Top quality service and fast turnaround time is guaranteed. Subscribe today. Save 10% on your order. Call or text 347-565-5892 or email music@legendarymix.com. Yo, are you tired of living in your grandmama's basement? Are you tired of driving a raggedy-ass car paying high interest rates? Are you tired of getting second-rate lace fronts and weaves? Well, you need to let the credit experts at Credit LC restore your credit and get you in that brand new home or car. Credit LC will even show you how to use your credit to get investment properties so you can get paid and stack paper. Go to creditliteracycoach.com or call or text 312-870-0733. That's creditliteracycoach.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
All right, family, what's going on? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your host. This is Tariq Nasheed, and I am broadcasting right now in New York City. As we speak, I am looking at the beautiful New York skyline. I'm over here by Central Park, so it's a beautiful view. Got my window wide open, my drawers on. Hopefully there's nobody looking at a player. But it's good to be out here in New York. Oh, before I get into that, man, let me shout out everybody who contributed to the brand new Indiegogo campaign that we have for the new documentary that we are working on. And that's why I'm out here in New York. I'm out here doing a lot of press and publicity, and I'm also filming for the new documentary that we're working on. The documentary is called 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. We launched the Indiegogo campaign this Sunday. Now, today is Wednesday. So in 3 days, we got almost $50,000 in 3 days. We're at like 42,000 right now. So we're inching up on 50,000. We should be at 50,000 later on tonight after everybody hears the show. After everybody listens to this broadcast, go to the Indiegogo page and let's put it over the $50,000 mark tonight. Let's get that knocked out tonight. But I'm proud of everybody for getting involved with this project, man. This is a very hot project and it's something that's needed. I put the trailer up, and this is just the teaser trailer for this documentary, and people are freaking out. People absolutely love the trailer. The trailer has everybody excited, and it's literally just the teaser trailer. It's just a little pinch of what we got going. So if everybody's excited off that, you're gonna love the actual film, because we're gonna make this thing pop off. So we want to take it all the way to the top. We want a minimum of 200,000, which we should be able to get, but we want to take it all the way up to 1 million, because I want to do a lot of reenactment scenes. We're going all around trying to find locations. There's a good brother down in Texas who has a farm, and he might let us use his farm, and I want to go down there and check that out, because the scenery and the location is real nice. My only concern is just the weather, but we're looking at Florida. We're looking at other places, but we're going to make this thing pop off, family. We're going to make it pop off. And again, everybody's listening to me right now, my diehards, and not even my diehards, everybody listening, y'all need to go to 1804movie.com, and that's going to link you to the Indiegogo page so that everybody can get involved with this, man, because the story of Haiti is amazing. We need to see, as melanoid people, how African people throughout history stood up for themselves. We need to see African people who didn't bow down and kowtow to tyranny and white supremacy. See, we got to stop this thing where we're all afraid of that stuff. As African people, that's not our nature. We got to get back to our nature of standing up for ourselves and standing up for justice. And that story is a great story about how people created a system of justice. And Haiti, a lot of folks don't know, that was the only nation that had real democracy after they got the white supremacists out of there, because they said, we're not going to have slavery on this island. And they allowed other white people to be down, Germans and Polish. So there's a lot of misconceptions about the history of Haiti. And that's something that we're going to go in depth with, because there's so many people talking about they wanted to do the story of Haiti. They wanted to do movies on Toussaint Louverture. I know Danny Glover was trying for years to get money, and that never panned out to do a movie about Haiti. So look, damn that. We're doing it. And we're going to do it as a melanoid family. And, you know, we don't care about that stuff they did with Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation was a good movie, but just the way they tried to sabotage our brother Nate Parker. You know, little stuff like that. When we are controlling and we're doing everything on our own, we can play past all those political bullshit games that people try to throw at us for trying to tell our story. And even under the trailer, you know, the white supremacists are already getting butt hurt. I've seen a couple of comments like, oh great, a fucking Get Whitey movie. I'm like, stop. Here you go. So we... all these slave movies that come out every month with black folks getting their ass whooped, getting raped and fucked and shitted on, and we sitting up here bowing and forgiving, that's fine. But when it comes time for us to stand up and say, hey, we had enough, now it's, oh no, oh, you're fucking race baiting, dude. Is that, who cares? Nobody cares about that. So again, 1804movie.com. That's where everybody go right now. You're listening to the broadcast now. As a matter of fact, I want you to pause, go make a contribution, and then play the show. And then after the show is over, make another one. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But like I said, I'm out here in New York, man. Shout out to Sarnetta, my man Sarnetta with the House of Consciousness. I did some with him the other day. Shout out to Brother Ebro and the Hot 97 family. I was on Hot 97 the other day. And this is I done talked Sarnetta's ass up. Sarnetta's texting me now. That's why y'all hear that clink. He wants to hook up again, and I got a busy schedule tomorrow. But shout out to Tax Stone. I was on that brother's podcast. Cause he's still hold. Let me tell Sarnetta. Hold on. Let me tell him not to text me while I'm live. I'm taping now. Hold on. I can't talk. Sorry about that, family. But like I'm saying. Who else was out on this week? Shout out to Combat Jack. I ran into Combat Jack. I was supposed to holler at Combat Jack today, but my schedule got thrown off because my man Combat Jack, he's Haitian, and I wanted to chop it up with him. Hopefully, I can get to do something with him before we're done with the movie. And I'm doing the Breakfast Club this week, too. I want to get Brilliant Idiots in. We're supposed to do it today. That's why I cleared a lot of my schedule to do the Brilliant Idiot Show. That's Charlamagne and the dude, Schultz. Because a lot of folks have been wanting me to get on that. I cleared my whole schedule for that. And that was the one I really wanted to do. I wanted to holler at that Schultz dude. I cleared my schedule, nigga. I made my schedule nice and available for Schultz's ass. So hopefully, before I leave, you know, I get to chop it up and we get to chop it up. But we'll see. We will see. But again, I was in Harlem the other day. Shout out to people at Denny Mo's. That's my favorite barbershop when I come out here. And I got my haircut. I like to get my New York haircuts. And it was freezing as shit out here the other day. And I'm walking down the street and people want to take pictures. And I'm freezing my damn ass off. Shout out to all the people I took pictures with. I wasn't trying to rush nobody, but I'm weather spoiled. I'm not used to this cold ass weather. So I'm like trying to make people hurry up and shit. I'm like, come on. You know, it's that type of thing. But much love to all the cats in New York. I get a lot of love when I come out here and everything like that. So what are we talking about today, man? You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about something that I was talking with my man Tax Stone yesterday. We're talking about how dudes be caping for white women. I'm gonna get on that in just a second, but I wanted to touch on that whole brothers caping for white ladies, because I've touched on that before. I want to get a little deeper on today's broadcast. Now, speaking of coons, I was talking about coons earlier. They were having these hearings for this guy named Jeff Sessions. Trump is trying to bring him in, I think, as the attorney general. Now, Jeff Sessions is a lifelong white supremacist. He's an old school white supremacist. He's been a damn white supremacist all of his damn career. They wouldn't let him be a judge, I think, back in the 80s because of his racism. It was so vehement. You had people like Coretta Scott King writing letters saying, hey, don't fuck with him. Google that. I mean, Coretta Scott King put out letters like, hey, this guy should not be a judge or nothing. He's too damn racist. His views on civil rights is horrible. So this guy, Sessions, old school white supremacist. And again, Trump is bringing in the whole white supremacist crew. They had hearings about Jeff Sessions and his racist views all of his damn career. And sure enough, they rolled out the fucking coon train. They had some coons. One nigga, William Smith. It was another coon. All these old coons look alike. They rolled the coons out talking about how Jeff Sessions is not racist. He's a good man. And we got to start coming up with punishment mechanisms for the coons. And we can do that by creating an economic base. It's very important to have an economic base so you can reward and deprive people who assist or sabotage black society as a whole. The fact that we don't have an economic base, but the white supremacists do, the coons are always going to side with the economic base. So this is why creating an economy is extremely important to combat the damn coon train, because the coon train is rampant. These buck dancing, biscuit eating niggas are scared. White supremacy is pinning itself in a circle. It's circling its wagons. And the tighter white supremacists get, the bigger the cooning starts. The cooning and the bedwinching just goes off the meter. So this is why, again, we're doing this movie to talk about how black people stood up for them damn selves instead of walking around like goddamn coons. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. You know, on my Sunday's Ustream show, I was talking about the white Hispanic thing, because last week on Twitter, I used the term white Hispanic to describe this white suspect who got caught shooting up the airport down in Florida. And I made the term white Hispanic trend. You know, all the white supremacists got mad, and the term, they were attacking me so much, the word actually started to trend. And the thing is, the term white Hispanic is not an incorrect term. Most Hispanics classify themselves as white. That's just the reality. Unfortunately, the white supremacists, they want to be the ones, excuse me, doing the racial pointing out. Excuse me, hold on. Before I started the show, I ate some of those black pepper salt chips. You know, New York, they got these damn bodega ass stores out here that sell all these designer chips. Damn, one of them New York potato chips, the spices got caught in my throat. Ah, damn, I got to get used to the New York food. They got the best food in the world out here in New York, man. The best food and the best clothes. They got shit out here in the stores in New York we don't get nowhere near LA. You know, they had some kale flavored chips. I'm like, God damn. And also fresh gear. I mean, I bought some tight ass gear up in Harlem, man. If you want to get some fresh gear, come out here first. They get everything at least 4 to 5 months before everybody else get it. They get all the hot shit out here. If you want to get the fresh fly shit first, get out here. Go down to Harlem. Go down to Fifth Avenue somewhere. But I digress. But I was talking about white Hispanic. And somebody sent me a video after I did the broadcast, and I wish I could play it. That's why I'm getting my portable broadcast setup together, so when I travel like I'm traveling now, I can have everything that I need. Right now, I just got my microphone and my laptop. But I got to set it up. I got to get my mixer and all that so I can take calls, so I can play videos live, so I can do all of that stuff that I do back in LA. But this video, it was a Hispanic guy going to some kind of Hispanic event somewhere in California, I think. And he was asking the Hispanic people, what race do you classify yourselves as? And it was very interesting because, again, on my Sunday show, it was a lady who called up trying to act confused. And that's another thing. I hate when people try that confusion game. They act like they don't know what they classify themselves as. They know what the fuck they write down on paper. So this guy was asking these Hispanic people. He was like, hey, what's your race? They were like, I'm Hispanic. No. He said, no, Hispanic is not a race. What race do you put down? I white. You know, they admit it after you press them. That's the funny thing. They know they put down white. And that's the thing. A lot of people who are Hispanic, let's just bring truth to power. Many of you, and I'm talking to the Hispanic community now, many of you are embarrassed to openly admit that you want to identify with white. See, people talk cultural heritage, Hispanic heritage, or whatever, but when nobody's looking, when the lights are off and you're in a room by yourself with you and some paperwork, and they ask what race you are, you quickly write white. Now, this is the thing. You have an option now. If you are Hispanic, you have an option. The main options that you have white, black, and Native American. So, a lot of people in the western side of the country, you could easily put your race as Native American. That is a race, or that's classified as a race. You could easily do that because phenotypically and somewhat genetically and even culturally, you're more aligned with Native American culture. Truth be told, if we're going to be very honest, especially a lot of Mexican people, you know, even on the islands, you know, the native population, the native, like Puerto Rico, that's is annexed by America. So there's a native population. There was a native population there that they could identify with. But especially out in Texas and in Los Angeles, California, that whole thing, people could easily identify with Native American, but a lot of them don't. They put down white. And a lot of people who are Hispanic are embarrassed to admit that. And a lot of people will try to play this game that they ain't really white, but they know that they marked down white on paperwork. So black folks, and I say this to say this, black folks, don't be fooled by that bullshit. That's why I tell black people, don't be fooled by that whole minority hustle. When people are like, "We're minority, I'm a minority like you." That motherfucker didn't mark white on some paperwork. He cannot wait to align himself with the white supremacists. In many cases, I ain't saying all. I'm not saying all. Because see, the thing is, a lot of them, they want to kind of play the fence because they want to align themselves with white, but the minute the real OG white supremacists step to them, they need some backup. So they want to do the minority card. When the Trump white supremacists step up there and start telling them to build a wall, then they start, "Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King." You know, they start quoting Martin Luther King and shit. So we got to understand the game and how that's played. But like I was saying earlier, I want to talk about today's topic. I'm talking about white woman magic. We're talking about white woman magic. And like I said, I was on Tax Stone's show, and me and Tax Stone, we're talking about the subject of this chick named Yes Jules came up. We're talking about white supremacy, and this chick named Yes Jules, she's a white girl down, I think she's in Florida somewhere. She's a white girl with kind of a big ass. She's a little flabby, but she kind of has a big ass for a white girl. And she kind of, she's made some low-key slick shit, a little slick taunts at sisters. She was like, "Yeah, I can go to the club and get any black man I want." She said something to that effect. And a lot of sisters, you know, were upset with it, rightfully so. I don't like these suspected white supremacists saying little slick shit like that to any black person. But the thing is, a lot of brothers were caping for her. And my dude Tax said, he's like, you know, a lot of brothers will forgive a lot of shit from a white racist female just because she got a big ass. Which is true. Niggas, if a nigga want to fuck a white woman, she can do and say anything. And niggas be right there with they dick out. And a lot of niggas will forgive anything because she'll run that white woman magic on her. See, though, people talk about black girl magic, but we don't talk about white woman magic. White women have magical powers among the Negro people, and we got to be very honest about that. In some cases, there's a lot of white women who cannot do no wrong. If it's a halfway decent looking white woman, no matter how racist she is, no matter how disgusting she is, a nigga be like, "I still fuck though." Still thinking like a damn slave. And the thing is, with the white woman magic, it just don't work on black men. White woman magic works on sisters and all non-white people for the most part, but really it works heavily on the most oppressed people on the planet at this current time, which are the darker black people. That white woman magic works on sisters too. Because look, a white woman steps in the room with a certain purse or a certain bag, wearing her clothes a certain way, there's a lot of sisters that will look at that white woman and then emulate that. That's why so many black women and men follow Kim Kardashian. And whatever they're doing, whatever hot dress or hot shoes the white women are wearing, me too. That's our mentality. We want to do the same thing. White women are wearing Manolos. We got to wear Manolos too. Whatever they make hot, we got to do the same shit too. Truth be told. But that white woman magic, Elijah Muhammad told us about that. Elijah Muhammad said, look, when the white supremacists get desperate, they're going to start throwing the women at you. The white women, they're going to offer them white women up. He said that in so many words. But the fact that so many brothers will cape for white women, even if they do disgusting things, and I'm not shitting on white women, because I'm really speaking about the white supremacist females, which are the ones that some brothers cape with. Now, if you're a black dude out there, or if you're a black female lesbian and you got some white pussy that you like eating, more power to you. I'm not knocking you, not shitting on you, but I'm just talking about how black folks will forgive a lot of things just because it comes from a white female, no matter how racist and disgusting it is. She runs that white woman magic and then niggas don't know how to act. Because again, I had a problem with a lot of dudes out here caping for that Tommy Lauren chick after all the vile and disgusting things that she has said. Whenever you get around her, you need to be checking her on all her shit. I see brothers now still caping for this chick. But see, the whole thing, that white woman magic, it's something about white women that has always been interesting to African people. It's always been that curiosity. I heard, I don't know where I read this before, but even when the slave trade started, what they would do, they would go to some of these tribes that were close to the coast and leave out trinkets. They would leave out trinkets and it would be a trail of trinkets that would ultimately lead to the ship that would get them captured. Useless trinkets. Now, we African people, we're sitting over gold and diamonds. We got all the minerals and the resources, and the white supremacists came over with trinkets. And that piqued our curiosity because it was different. It was unique. It was something that we never saw before, so we were interested in it to our demise to a certain degree. And what I also heard is that they also would have white women out there standing by ships. And people wanted to see these white women. Well, what the hell? What is that? She's awfully albino-ish. What is that? So the thing is, nigga trinkets and cupcaking for the white supremacist female, that's always been a detriment that a lot of folks don't want to talk about. That has always been somewhat of a detriment. And again, I'm not knocking people in interracial relationships. There's some white women that are down. Date your down ass white woman. I'm talking about very specific stuff. I'm talking about that white woman magic that has worked on dudes who let a lot of shit slide. So the thing is, we got to go back. Even in the early white feminist movement, it was really about the white supremacist female doing her part to maintain white supremacy, but not being in a chokehold by the white supremacist male. She was kind of positioning for a better spot as a prison owner to a certain degree. The white supremacist female was like, hey, wait a minute. Now you starting to treat me like these niggas here. You got to treat me a little better. You giving these niggas the right to vote. Wait a minute now. Don't treat me like a nigga. Don't give a nigga something that I'm not getting. Because that's what the whole modern feminist movement really started as. The suffrage. The women getting the right to vote. The right to vote over who? Over black men. That was a major thing. So the white feminist movement, it got started, and the white women, they would get a couple of token black women to parade around and say, hey, look, you know, we're for fairness for all women, but not really. And I'm not racist because I got this Negro woman with me right here. So how can I be racist? But they were extremely racist. If you look at the documents of all of those early white feminists, I mean, they would actually use the words white supremacy. They were hell bent on maintaining white supremacy. Very racist white women at that time. A lot of them would also understand this. This is something we always miss. During the time of the first wave of the white feminist movement, imperialism in Africa was at full speed. They were over there in Africa, you know, living it up. They carved Africa up. They were right in the middle of some of those wars over there to dominate the people. And there were a lot of white women who went over there, and they told the white males, look, y'all over there with guns and you're getting in fights and you're getting in wars. And the white women, they would just go over there, talk to a couple of the villagers, and have them eating out the palm of her fucking hand. The white women would go over there to African countries, go to some of the villagers, talk to them, use some of that white woman magic. Bam! The villagers would do anything the white woman told them. That's where that King Kong shit came from. Not only did it come from like Jack Johnson, but also the white woman going over there taming the savage beast. Look at the movie King Kong. Really look at it and analyze it. It's about King Kong living on a primitive island, Africa, because every time they show the King Kong movie, it's a bunch of African people. And let's be real, the only gorillas are in Africa. Let's be real. The only place gorillas are is Africa. So they show the white woman going to an African-like mythological country with tribesmen. They got voodoo and spears and all this shit. They're violent. And they go over there and the African people are beating up the white men and all this shit. And the white woman's like, wait a minute. Let me go get this big fucking gorilla and calm him down. And she goes and tames King Kong. And King Kong's whooping everybody's ass for the white woman. You know, they know they're Negroes. You know, that was them talking about us. They know how to deal with us. They know how to use that white woman magic. And then they bring King Kong over here. He's all on the Empire State Building, beating up fucking helicopters and planes. Then the white woman is yelling, King Kong! Then he falls down and shit. But it's that white woman magic that they've been working on the Negro mind for a long time that we gotta acknowledge. And even today, truth be told, even today, white women can go over to Africa, and when white women show up, and I've been to Africa and I've seen this, I've been to Africa and I've seen a white woman get out of a car, get out of a Jeep, and everybody stop what they're doing and go run around the white woman. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen them do this. Because in their mind, it's like, hey, this white woman, she has food and medicine or whatever we need. She has resources. And see, we got to shake the white woman magic mentality off of us. Because we got to understand, where does that white woman magic mentality come from? In the system of white supremacy. The first teacher for a lot of melanoid people, not just in the United States, but globally, the first teacher usually for black children and children all over the world, excluding China and India, I would say, but the first teacher, especially over here, usually is a white woman. Think about your first grade teacher. When you think about your first grade teacher, more than likely, even if you grew up in a black neighborhood, if you didn't go to a private school, which most of us don't, but if you go to a public school, for the most part, your first teacher is a white woman. So you learn early on that the white woman knows stuff. This white woman has taught me how to count. The white woman has taught me how to read. The white woman has taught me how to potty in certain cases. And then when I go home, a bunch of niggas who don't know nothing, then I go to school, all the white women know everything. Then I go back home to a bunch of niggas in my neighborhood who don't really know nothing. They're looking at Love and Hip Hop and looking at all the ratchet nigga shows. But then I go to school and the white teacher's telling me about history. You see, and that's when the indoctrination comes in. Because now you trust this person to teach you, and then you open yourself to be miseducated. See, that's where the problem comes in. So you have a choice to be miseducated at school or be miseducated at home. Because for the most part, a lot of these parents don't be knowing shit. You go home to your weed-smoking mama, her weed-smoking boyfriend, motherfuckers fighting, yelling, fucking, cussing, watching BET, all that. So this is why we have to get on our teach shit. We got to get on our teacher thing. This is why I do these films, by the way. That's one of the major reasons why we do these films, so that we can start being the first teachers that these children see. And it's very important to see black people giving children this knowledge. That's why with the Hidden Colors series, it's the only series, educational series, where you have nothing but black scholars educating the children. And this is why coons always have something slick to say. You notice that? People who grew up with a coon mentality, when it comes to Hidden Colors, there's always some niggas who want to question some. How we know all that's true though? Where the resources at though? We don't know where they research that at. I don't like to read. He made some Mackin books. It's always some stupid shit, because anytime black people teach you something, you've been programmed to be such a fucking coon. If black people are educating you, you and your nigga coon buck dancing mind think that something is wrong with that. Hey, what is this? What, ain't no white woman in this thing. I don't see no white woman. Because let me tell you something. If white people did a Hidden Colors film, I'm talking about everything we talked about, not change one thing, but just the people saying it. I mean, if they did it word for word without changing anything, none of the content, nothing. If white people did it, niggas would be on some other shit. Wow. Wow. Those same haysayers, naysayers, they'd be like, oh, why? That's so damn deep. Ooh, that deep. Ray! Ooh, that deep. Them same niggas. And it would be getting all types of awards, by the way, too. Golden Globe, all that shit. But I digress. Because I don't really give a shit about those awards. My biggest concern is getting information out so that we get educated by that. But again, that white woman magic is not a joke. And the thing is, that white woman magic, it fools a lot of black people, because you grew up, the white woman is your teacher. The white woman has nurtured you to a certain degree. Nurtured and sometimes miseducate, but you get confused. Because a child molester can nurture you and then harm you. So we get confused when we're around somebody who's supposed to nurture us and teach us and educate us, and it becomes unfathomable that they can do something vicious. And the thing is, a lot of us, we get hooked onto that white woman magic, and we think, well, she's different from the white supremacist male. And that's one of the biggest mistakes we make. We think just because she's working the white woman magic that she can't be a white supremacist, and the white supremacist female can be just as vicious as the white supremacist male. That's something that we always get lost on. You know, one of my colleagues, she's listening. I should say her name, but I'm not going to say her name. But she had roommates. She was, when she moved to LA, she had roommates. And she told me that I won't say roommates. It was a couple who had a room that they rented out to her. It was something like that. And the couple, you know, they were a fairly young couple, but she said that the male was kind of a white supremacist. He would say little slick shit. She suspected him of being a white supremacist based on the little slick shit he would say to her. And she's this is a sister, by the way. And she kept telling me how the wife was real nice, but the husband was on some suspected white supremacist shit. And the wife would be like, oh, okay, I don't know. I'll go talk to him. You know, I'll go see. And I let my homegirl know. I said, hey, you know, that's a con game that the white woman is running on you. If that husband is a suspected white supremacist, I'm pretty sure her ass is one too. You better watch out. Don't let her fool you with that naive, neutral bullshit that they try to run. See, that's that white woman magic. And I told her she needed to be getting up out of there. And pretty soon, a few weeks later, the white woman flipped on her. The white woman's like, oh my God, I think you're violent. Because she got into an argument. My homegirl got into an argument. So the white girl did all the stereotypical white supremacist shit where they start making up, well, I'm afraid of my life. My life is in danger because you're so black and mean. You know, is that, you know, they'll flip on you real quick. So we got to stop thinking just because somebody's working the white woman magic that they do not believe and practice white supremacy, because they can be just as vicious as the white supremacist male. I remember when the Trayvon Martin trial was going on and they were talking about the jury and how it's going to be a fair trial because it's a lot of white women on the jury, but they're mothers. And, you know, Trayvon is a child, so the mothers, these are mothers who are going to be sympathetic. And my sister, Shahrazad Ali, got on TV. She said, man, those white women are not about to go against their white supremacist male husbands. They about to find that man Zimmerman innocent. And sure enough, they did. Don't be fooled by that white woman magic. White women, they still uphold white supremacy. They have no problem upholding white supremacy. See, we think just because these white supremacist females make a few nice gestures, and they're very nice. That's the white woman magic. The white woman magic, on the surface, they're very, very nice. Look, I'm staying at a very nice hotel out here in New York. And I'm like, I think I'm the only black person here who's staying at the hotel. I mean, there's people who work here. There's people coming in and out. But from what I've seen, I'm like the only black person staying at this hotel. And whenever I go in the lobby to get coffee, like, white women are very friendly to me. Hi. Hello. Oh, it's so cold out here, huh? You know, okay. They're working the white woman magic. I'm cordial too. I don't mind anybody being cordial, but I'm not fooled. You know, at the end of the day, if I wasn't in this damn nice hotel and I'm walking down the street, you dig? Will they be so fucking nice? And if I look at them and I'm smiling, will they say, is this nigga trying to street harass me? You dig? I think they might think that I'm an athlete or something. That's another thing, because usually when I'm staying in like five-star hotels and there's a lot of white people, they assume that I'm an athlete or something. Oh God, look, Mom, Tyler Perry. They might think I'm Tyler fucking Perry. I don't know. But I'm not fooled by the white woman magic. I'm very cordial. They're cordial to me. I'm cordial to them. I'm polite to them. They're polite to me. But I don't get fooled. I don't get too comfortable. Because that's the thing. Black folks get real comfortable with the white woman magic. When the white women get too nice, they think, oh man, I've arrived. Oh man, these all white peoples ain't bad. Man, these are good white people. And then you get a little too comfortable. You get a little too close. You give them a hug or something. Then they say, well, you know what? I felt uncomfortable. I felt like I was groped. You know, it's that type of shit. They'll flip on you. You better watch. Don't get fooled by that white woman magic. That white woman magic, you don't know what they will do. You don't know if you're dealing with a suspected white supremacist female out here. You dig that? You know that movie, The Blind Side, with Sandra Bullock? You know, she played the adoptive mother of the Negro football player. And I say Negro football player because in the movie, that's what he played. The real brother, Michael Orr, is not a Negro. But the dude, the movie, the character, that was a Negro. He played a Negro slave oaf, just a mumble mouth nigga running around here who can't talk, needing that white woman magic. It was a disgusting fucking film. And the white supremacists love that because that's their fantasy. That's the King Kong fantasy. Taming the vicious Negro, getting the vicious Negro out of his savage environment. If you look at the movie The Blind Side, the black character, Big Mike, he's in the projects with his crackhead mother. Crackhead niggas, gangster niggas standing outside the projects. Sandra Bullock comes along, checking him. You better leave him alone, you know, with the white woman magic. She's the tough, spunky white woman. Fuck out of here. And that the woman who Sandra Bullock is playing, I can't think of her name right now because, you know, some people, I try not to put too many white supremacist names in my mental Rolodex because I just look at them all the same. But the lady who that movie was about, she did some real slick shit a couple of years ago and I talked about on my show. There were these black kids down somewhere in New Orleans or Louisiana. They went into a store to charge their phone and then she walked up to them and demanded what they were doing. They were like, we're trying to charge our phone. And they showed that their phone was died, that their phone had died because they were about to call the police on the guys. These are like some teenagers. So after she berated these kids, she gave them $20 each and then got on Instagram and then took a picture of them. She took a picture with them and act like she did some kind of good deed. She was like, yeah, these guys came into the store and we thought they were up to no good. Then I walked up to them and I demanded, what are you doing in here? They said they were just trying to charge their phone. I said, oh, wow. Well, here's $20 so you can take a bus home. See how nice and good I am and how people can get along? So she was patting herself on the back for her white woman magic, but it was some degrading bullshit that she pulled. And that's what we have to understand about the white woman magic. Usually the white woman magic is to keep you in a degraded state. Ultimately. So we got to understand the game and understand how the game works. Stop being afraid of melanoid empowerment. Just because somebody's working the white woman magic on you, you still be about melanoid empowerment. Just because some white people are being nice to you, hey, I'm nice to you too, but I'm still going to go over here and empower my people as a group. Sisters, just because the white man is being nice to you, I got to empower my group. Don't be a damn bedwench. Niggas, don't be a coon. Always think about terms in terms of empowering yourself as a group. This individual coon shit just don't work. It don't work for you. It has never worked. That I call it that Nazi collaborator thing. There's a lot of Jewish people who were Nazi collaborators. That didn't stop anything. That just slowed down them going into the ovens. So we got to start thinking in terms of replacing the entire system of white supremacy with a system of justice, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. It was good chopping it up with the family. Ladies and gentlemen, let me get up out of here. But again, everybody, right now, go to the Indiegogo page. Get your contributions in for the brand new movie called 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. You can go to the page, go to 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. You guys have a good one, fam. Peace.